having been there a few times as a delegate, the lobby.
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever.
Well, only ever is an underage delegate.
So, well, what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
I'm delighted to say Paul Bellew is with us. He's the Galway Hurling Committee chairperson. And Paul, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Ger. Owen, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good. It's been... you guys have been responsible for one of the biggest bombs going off in the hurling championship in an off-season that we can remember, where out of nowhere, Henry Shefflin was announced as your new inter-county manager. How did you manage to keep it secret?
Yeah, you say out of nowhere. I've heard things flying around like 11th hour, and I wish it was. I wish it was that quick for us, because it certainly felt a lot longer. There was a media storm around this Galway appointment going back for 6 weeks, let's be very honest about it. A few of us had a certain job to do, and we made a commitment from the start that we would do what we had to do, keep our powder dry. There was times we had wanted to come out given the amount of nonsense that was floating around, but we had to concentrate on what we do. And I suppose just one thing to be very clear, we kept our position on every candidate the exact same. There was a lot of attention on certain candidates. That didn't come from us, to be fair. It didn't maybe come from them either, but we treated everyone the same. And, you know, we engaged them and we met them, sat down with them. Everybody went through the same process. And as I said, it came from other sources rather than ourselves. So, you know, it's nothing more exciting or glamorous than that, Ger, I'm afraid.
Well, we might get into the bits and pieces of that as well, because obviously in the middle of all this we were having fairly lengthy conversations about Galway hurling, and I make no bones about being fascinated since the 1980s and going to watch All-Ireland semi-finals when Cyril Farrell was in charge with that great team. I think Galway have been one of the most interesting stories and the biggest stories in Irish sport, given the quality of success that you've had at underage in particular. So when you're talking about the stuff that was floating around, we were certainly contributing to some of that. And I know that from your perspective, you'd like to get the story out about how progressive your board are and what you're actually trying to achieve. So maybe you might tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and look, that's it. And look, you're not going to get the this county board official coming on ranting and raving. And look, I was long enough on the other side ranting and raving at Galway County Board, but I suppose my defence is I always did it on the convention floor or at delegate meetings, and people had the right to reply. And, you know, I certainly had my say, and then I decided to do something about it and get involved. And I think it's my 20th month involved in two COVID years, and it feels like 20 years. But look, there was a piece, let's be straight up about it. I'm going to be very direct and forthright about it. It was James's piece, and look, at Eye of the World, the time for James. We've had some good chats in the last few days, so this isn't coming on at tit for tat, but I think he was upset and passionate about maybe where things were going, and it just felt like things were in a bit of a time warp from a few years ago about some of the accusations that were been put around. And I'm coming on today just to set the record straight. Galway GA, as you said, has been dramatic. It's time to get boring now. We just want to point out what is going on and has been going on for the last few months and even over the last year. And, you know, it has become this bit of a punch bag, Galway GA in general, not just Galway hurling, and financial issues, et cetera, et cetera. And we haven't done well in getting the message out about what's moved on from 2 years ago. And maybe today is maybe a bit of a chance to do that. And look, there'll be people out there typing into thing going again, gangsters, et cetera, whatever, the whole lot. That narrative has to change. And it changes now,
so
I suppose.
You were involved in making sure that this is a more boring conversation in future, where the administration of the sport isn't being spoken about as much as what's happening on the field of play. So you were involved, for example, in bringing Mazars in and getting the corporate governance back to where it needs to be.
Yeah, there was four of us, I suppose, really, that had did a lot of work to get that out, and very proud of what was achieved on that. And we're moving on from that. And as I said, two of those people are now, one is the county treasurer, one is I'm Hurley committee chairman, not county board per se, but we're involved. These were the people that we were looking for to step up, etc. And I think when we just heard some of the stuff the last few weeks, it's as if nothing has changed. But, you know, in the GAA, it's very frustrating for us as well. It takes time to change. But just on the hurling front, I suppose your question is, why have we won loads of minors and not won anything else? I think that's what we all ask. And we probably were a little bit behind the curve, but I suppose just as a few things that I would like to point out, like Henry's appointment is brilliant, but it's only one facet of what we're doing. And I think we released a statement last week, and I think it was picked up locally anyway. Maybe the last paragraph was one of the more exciting lines, you know, that it combines our ambition to create a sustainable player pathway and for development. So just a couple of the things that are happening out there for listeners and for Galway people in particular, you know, we've put Lucas, you know, Lucas is very highly regarded. Lucas is no longer, you know, the Galway senior hurlers SNC guy. Lucas is now the head of athletic development for Galway GAA senior under 20 minor and our new adult development squad for the next 3 years. So Lucas's remit will be to design, implement hurling specific SNC for all squads and oversee the other members of the SNC team. And just to give you an example, Jer, we hired another SNC person 3 weeks ago to focus on our development squad and to support our underage. And along with that, for 2022, we'll have two other people specifically assigned to our minor and our under 20. So that'll be four pretty much full time for next year SNC people. And then we'll have a 5-team intern to focus on that as well, where we bring in people in college, they support the guys there, they upskill, they learn, and we actually bring them back into our system then. That's the idea that it'll reproduce. So long story short, Galway Hurling will have 9 people working on their SNC for 2022. From 17 years of age up to adult, to incorporate over 100 players.
I think, in fairness, that was one of the points that James was making. He was concerned that Lucas might be lost to the system given the domain knowledge that he's built up. So that's great to hear that has been sorted out.
And it has been underway for a while, and that's been in the works. And in fairness, I will say this, I'm not going to come out and advertise something that's being done until it's done. I'm probably out a bit earlier, but it had been done. The aims have been shared with the clubs. Maybe that's not getting through, and I understand that, but as I said, we weren't going to come out crowing about something before it started. More so, we want to complete it. The fruits of this will be, I think, post-Henry Shefflin, to be honest with you. And I suppose the biggest other piece, what we've done is we've created now a formalised adult development squad. And that's focused on player pathway from under 20 onwards in particular, because we have been losing these guys. And we're going to have a point when we have all managers in place, we're going to sit down and we're going to appoint the head of this adult development squad who will manage it in conjunction with the senior under 20 17. All on the one page, all working together, no more managers going on solo runs, not speaking together, not getting together, not integrating into one vision. They'll all be combined in a charter, and the charter is development, development, development. And the aim of this, lads, is to keep guys that maybe just don't make it straight away. You know, the late developers that maybe just physically aren't there, hurling-wise aren't there. So they will have 3 facets to what they're doing. They'll be kept in the underage system. They'll be exposed to Lucas's and team of S&C, to nutrition, basically best practice on that, and to best practice hurling. So they will have coaches on the development side. They'll be brought in and out of the seniors in the 20s if they're not quite there. They stay in the system, and they get every chance that in a couple of years, if this guy has made the step up, he follows his program, we'll be giving them matches against the other teams. In he comes, he's ready, he's physically ready, he's mentally ready, which is very important, and he can come in and his hurling is up to speed. So that adult development appointment is probably, maybe it's the biggest one we'll do in the next 3 months. It won't get as much attention, but that's where we are, and that's what's been going on in Galway.
That's a plan, and it sounds like, you know, I'm always on the show talking about, we always talk about the best in class, and so the Doves football, and now it's Limerick hurling, and before that it was Kilkenny hurling, but no one's ever become successful by aping what somebody else is doing. You have to do your own thing, and it sounds like you've got a plan there to keep the players from disappearing and from not being aware of what the responsibilities will be when they eventually make it to the senior squad. And that kind of brings me nicely, is that a way in some ways of stepping outside the club structure and trying to bring some unity there? Because one of the other points that James made, and I think it probably holds for most counties who aren't winning All-Ireland, is that if the clubs run off the championship, they're happy, and that's their interest. And we've seen factional self-interest is at the heart of a lot of the organisation, where if so long as my parish or my club within the parish is doing well, then actually I'm all right, Jack. And if you're involved at county level, you need to think separately from those clubs. So how do you get the clubs who have very, very intense rivalries in Galway to think a little bit laterally and to think about the county for at least a portion of their thinking time?
Yeah, well, we have to do much better with them as well. And I think what they need, and this will be part of Lucas's role, is we need to upskill the clubs. in terms of, again, from an S&C nutrition point of view. That's the key area as well, because there's plenty of hurling coaches. That's very good. But it's to show them this vision that we do have for Galway, that we realise potential among those players. And I think the key point is what you touch on. If these players that come in and we widen the net, sure, they go back, if they don't make it for Galway, they go back to their clubs, you know, of a much higher standard in terms of personally, hurling-wise, expertise-wise. And that's what brings your clubs with you. And just on the club championship piece, you know, it's not what it used to be in terms of, it's still the most popular club championship in the country, the biggest club championship. You'll see that from our gates, our streaming figures last year. The rivalry isn't as bitter and intense as it would have. That's probably another myth that needs to kind of go as well, along with a couple of other things, you know. And just while I am on it, because one thing, we have had financial issues, we've had governance issues, that sometimes gets tied in with resource. And I think that's as good a time anyway to set the record straight, and I won't be too popular for doing this, and I wasn't too popular probably in my own county board when I did it, but you know, people will laugh at this, and I'm waiting for the reaction later on today. Galway hurlers are probably in the top two resource squads in the country. Now, it's not too often that's said, and most people don't believe it, but I spent a lot of time the last few weeks talking to managers, ex-managers, other county board officials in other counties. I've had some of the worst 3 weeks of my life, but two of the best three as well. The hurling public would talk to me. We are somewhere in the region of 20% over most teams in what we make available and supply to get our team to an All-Ireland final. We consistently have backroom teams in excess of 20 people. Our budget to get to an All-Ireland is over 700k, if needed to be. And that's a budget. It's a target. It's not meant to be spent if it doesn't have to be, but it's there. Our players are exceptionally well looked after, which they will all testify to. The relationship between, I can speak from the hurling committee side, and the players is as good a relationship as I've ever been involved in from a work point of view or a amateur point of view. And you know, again, people might be shocked at hearing some of that, but that is the facts. And as I said, just because there's debt issues and COVID, you would have a cash flow issues and huge challenges, we remain one of the best resource squads in the country.
Taking that into account then, Paul, is there necessarily a target that gets set out for the managers to say you have to be winning All-Irelands?
No, that target will not come up in my vocabulary. Our simple ambition is, over the next few years, in every facet, is that we maximise our potential in every area, and that the only reason we get beaten is because A, we're not good enough, or B, a bounce of a ball. The idea over the next few years was, we want to be hitting All-Ireland semi-finals, probably 4 in every 5. If we're good enough, we'll win them. But I'll promise you this, you won't be able to blame County Board, you won't be able to blame lack of money, you won't be able to blame you won't be blaming the players. You won't be able to blame preparation. We will have everything in place that makes us reach our potential. If we're good enough, we're good enough. I think the best way to, and I chatted to Eddie O'Sullivan about this, Eddie was on our panel, is you're looking at maybe a Green Bay model or something like that, that you're getting to the business end every year because everything is in place. And if you can get over the line, you get over the line. But no excuses now anymore. No nonsense. No sideshows. Galway loves drama. It loves politics. But needs to stop now. All on the one page, all going forward together. I said, myself and James had this conversation last night, and as I said, Galway hopefully is about to get very boring. And
I know you hope they don't,
but I certainly hope they do.
This is probably not the question to ask then, if you're looking to keep it boring. But is Galway's Aaron Rodgers, aka Joe Canning, going to make a return?
See, this absolutely nothing to do with me. That's a decision for the manager. The manager manages. And we support and facilitate him behind the scenes, and we stay out of that stuff. We don't pick that. Would we all love to see it? Of course we would. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
And Paul, to go back to getting Henry Shefflin involved, right? So we've obviously seen Henry's career as a manager come about and be very successful very early on. But I suspect that if he thought there was going to be any bullshit in the background, then he also would have said, you know, thanks but no thanks. So I guess you coming out and telling us about what is in the background and the long-term plans you have with strength and conditioning, in a way, it sounds like you kind of had to put those in place to be able to get somebody of Henry Shefflin's stature interested in the first place.
Yeah, and we have to do it anyway. Not even Henry Shefflin's stature. If anyone took the job in Galway, these are the things that had to be done. But you're right in what you say, in that, you know, again, let's come back to some of the narrative out there. not only Henry Shefflin, the other three candidates, and we forget about the two brilliant Galway candidates we had in this mix as well. You know, we sat down on the Sunday after we finished a certain round of interviews and we all looked at each other and we said, we're in a good place here. Whoever we appoint as Galway manager, even before our final interview, we're happy now. But, you know, the likes of Henry or whoever else, they don't get involved with the group of chancers. You know, they saw what was being done. They saw how it was done. They saw it was in the background. And again, about the 11th hour appointment, the amount of conversations that go on before people actually proceed to formal interview, there's 4 to 5 hours in that prep. You know, these guys don't make these decisions lightly anymore. It's a huge commitment. Not even if you're coming from Kilkenny, if you're coming from Athenry, it's a huge commitment. So all those things have to be in place and they have to be happy with those things, and that's the standards, you know, you need to reach.
And what was the story with Micheál Donoghue? Because it looked like he was interested at one stage, then he was out and then he was back in.
Yeah, but again, that's narrative on the media side. I can only tell you how it went down for us, and I've told the delegates this when we reconvened 2 weeks ago. You know, everybody assumed that Micheál was the front runner, the favourite. I suppose he was the chosen candidate among us all, to be straight up about it, when the vacancy arose. Again, I took this position 20 months ago. I had no previous involvement. I never overlapped with Micheál's time, so I sat down with him. I had a fresh approach to it. I to be straight up to him as well, in fairness to Micheál, and there's been an awful lot of noise out there, and it hasn't been fair to Micheál, it hasn't been fair to Galway County Board, and it spun the things outside of this, and then, you know, it almost became a one versus the other when nothing could be further from the truth. And again, that won't suit the narrative, but I actually rang Micheál and asked him to go forward. There was meant to be nominations to the club or whatever. I rang him and said, we want you to be the next Galway hurling manager, and he goes, look, let's just sit down. And he gave me that courtesy, and, you know, we all know the dangers of assuming, lads. And I suppose we sat down for nearly 2 hours. We had a brilliant conversation, and it probably became apparent to me as well that I shouldn't have assumed, and that he wasn't maybe in the position to come back that we had thought he was, for personal reasons. Timing wasn't right. What he said to me in terms of what he did for me, in terms of he saw where things were going with development-wise, he had seen the document that was put out, he's fully supportive of it, and he's asked in any way he can help that he will get behind. And that's, you know, again, that's not the fun story. I presume people would much rather if we were at loggerheads and what have you. Then we had spin-off that he made demands, that negotiations broke down. Negotiations didn't even start. I did ask him to take the weekend to consider it, and I know he did, and I know he deeply did. And he came back to me on the following weekend, and I said, are you definitely done? Is there any one thing I can do? He said, there's nothing you can do. You know, it's not now. And then we had all the rumour, conjecture, and the damage it did. And again, not caused by Micheál and not caused by Hurling Committee or County Board. And it just did so much damage. And I think the James interview was a byproduct of that. You know, everyone, we should do whatever we can. We did whatever we can, but it didn't even get to the point of discussing budget. You know, that's the bones of it, lads. And I can only give you my version of what happened, and that's what it was for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And then you mentioned the candidates from Galway. Were they the existing underage managers? Is that
they were? I mean, that's what I said. I would not betray any confidence, but it's been well out there now. I would not have commented on Davey ever until he, you know, came out himself on the Late Late Show and said it. But the boys were brilliant. You know, they really put their best foot forward for the role. They have a huge role to play in Galway hurling going forward in numerous capacities. But yeah, they were the other two. But the standard was exceptionally high.
Right. And what was it in the end that made you want to go for Henry?
Yeah, this is like, it's been bigger than, like, I thought it'd be big, but it's been bigger than we ever thought. But we were concentrated on Henry the manager, not Henry the player. And I know people might find that hard to believe. And look, obviously his player reputation does, but, you know... He was on our radar 2 years ago. I was involved in the selection committee the last time as a delegate, and he was on our radar. And basically, once the Micheál piece wasn't going to go ahead, you know, I just took out the blank sheet and wrote a couple of names down. And easy to say now, and would I tell you the same if it was someone else? I probably would, but I'll tell you the truth. We got the number one candidate that we wanted, and he was put down at number one. And when we interviewed him, I knew from the conversations with him, you know, a serious high degree of intelligence, the questions he asks, just his view, like there's a simplicity to what he's going to bring, I think. You know, it's going to be hurling. I know that sounds a bit basic, but, you know, he's smart, he's modern, but there's just this Kilkenny ruthlessness, I think, that sits behind it that impressed us, you know. His experience with Ballyhale, Eddie O'Sullivan focused an awful lot on culture, dressing room dynamics. You know, maybe our dressing room as well needs that bit of a shake-up. And, you know, he's dealt with some stuff like that as well. And how he'd approached that just blew us away, really.
I think that's an underrepresented or under... misunderstood part of the Ballyhale thing is, like, everybody assumes, oh, those lads won all Ireland together, but it's a club. We all know that clubs have rivalries within them and all that kind of one family, somebody sits in the wrong place, something happens, and he walked in and solved that relatively quickly, and they reached their potential. So if you can do something similar with the dressing room in Galway, then we're in for a very exciting period. It sounds a little bit like it was a kind of a dating thing where you're both feeling each other out, because you both kind of need to make sure that actually you both want it. Like, you needed to prove to him, but he kind of needed to prove to you too, because, you know, it's not like there was a track record of inter-county management there too. So it's a leap of faith collectively.
Yeah, well, look, we have a very... It is. And it was very, you know, as I said, I spoke to him probably for 4 or 5 days myself, didn't tell anyone. We extended it out to maybe 4 to 5 people on the Friday to say, look, this is a go. But everyone had to go through the interview process. There was no shortcuts for anyone. And, you know, that's when he agreed, and the others did as well. And we had stringent criteria. As I said, we had Eddie. I come from a recruitment background myself, so it was going to be done in a certain way. So there was a lot of feeling out. A lot of trust had to be built up, and that was done. But the interview piece is kind of the last piece. You, if anything breaks down, it nearly breaks down in the period up to that, if you know what I mean. So it's a fascinating process, but if you do it right and you do it with a bit of structure, you'll get what you need in the end.
Yeah. So I guess it's been really interesting talking to you, Paul, because, like, we don't get often insight into what happens. And, you know, I'm delighted that you felt comfortable enough telling us these details, because I think it does give a full picture of exactly what you guys are doing in the background. And I also understand that you can't explain to everybody everything that you're doing along the way. So I don't know, in future, is there a way that if you were to go back 20 months when you did take the job first, would you change how you bring people along, or is that actually something that you couldn't do?
No, it's something you couldn't do. And again, this would have all been nipped in the bud if there wasn't a manager process going on. You see, I think what went on here, and I said, I'm moving on now. Everyone, Galway is going to move on together. We've had these calls, like, Henry's an extremely unifying figure as well. Like, the stuff been worked on development, that's been worked on throughout the year, etc. Things blew up over the manager appointment. The manager appointment became political. So I wasn't going to come out in the middle of it and start a tit for tat or a back and over and jeopardize the manager process. We had a job to do. So, no, we keep the clubs updated. I think publicly, you know, in that maybe social media world or whatever it is, just to stop the abuse or the misunderstanding, we just have to get our message out better. But we will. But we'll do it when things are done. And I'm happy that it's in a place that it's going to thrive. You know, there's too many people out there telling us what they're going to do. I'm only interested in doing things, and that's the key piece.
The bit about, for example, the adult development squads and that kind of that, how the strength and conditioning and nutrition and coaching is all going to, those pillars are going to help with that and making sure that player pathway exists. You know, you didn't come up with that in the back of a... So that was obviously in gestation for a period of time. Is that the type of thing, maybe you are telling the clubs about this and it's just, that doesn't filter out. And I don't know if that is a model that other counties are using or whatever, but wherever it's come from, it's a good idea. Is that the type of thing that in retrospect or in future, you'll go, okay, these are the things we're doing, and then you get to challenge people, well, what are you going to do to help contribute?
Exactly that. And that's kind of where we're at on some of it. And this will be launched. I think we need to do something to say... the clubs to get behind it, like you kind of touched on earlier on, how do you bring them along? This now will be launched, and maybe we have to just do that little bit more of a PR element and let it come out everywhere. But you're right, and then it's bring people with you. And on the adult, like, I'm not an expert in any of this stuff. I know as much about S&C as, you know, I don't, and nutrition, I don't, but I know it's important, and it's about putting those people in place. So I have a lot to do on the adult development squad side of, you know, will that thing will probably only reach its potential over 2 years, I think. We'll set it up. It'll be a bit of a shaky structure. But we're already talking to people, you know, and the likes of the Michals to get their input when we have all the managers in place about improving it and then bringing everyone with you. That's going to be the key.